Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Samach Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Samach Dalid. Bear in mind that today's Shiur is a direct continuation of our previous Shiur, wherein we provided essentially an introduction to what we're about to be dealing with now. So that if you're a first-time listener, by all means, pick up our previous shiur in order to appreciate what we're about to do. We are focusing on a pasuk that we cited in the margin of our Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis marked Gemara, Shmois Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Gimel. Let's read the Pasuk again. It's going to be the focus of our discussion. And it says there, Im himotzei timotzei biyodoi hageneva, mishor ad chamor ad se, chayim shnayim yeshalem. The general discussion concerns finding a source for a gana, for a thief, a stealthful thief, paying twice the amount if he is caught. When he is caught, he has to pay kefel. What does the kefel cover, or what kind of items would be mechayev, would generate this penalty? Essentially, we want to conclude, we know that it includes all portable items that have inherent value. Dover HaMetaltel, it's portable. The Gufo Momon, that has inherent value. What is excluded, we'll see as we go along in the Gemara. How were we expected to derive that? Through a method of learning the Pasuk in a, we'll say, in a Prat Uklal fashion. That was what was presented to us in the Tanaic source, the Tana de Beis Chizkia that we saw at the end of our previous shir, that began two lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. However, there's a major, major difficulty with accepting the source as it is. So now, let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Mor, this is of course a quote from what we saw in the Tana de Beis Chizkia, Yomar Shor Ugineva. Let the Pasuk have simply said Shor, which is a prat, an example, and Geneva, which represents a klal, a general statement, and then I would proceed from there to include more than that which is written in the Pasuk. The Gemara asks, Miksiv Shor uGeneva? Does the Pasuk actually say the words in that order? We pointed out, yes, in our previous shiur, that the order of words when you're dealing with a klal uprat structure pasuk is critical. So the suggestion of the Tana de Beis Chizkia was, let the pasuk have simply stated shor followed by geneva. Well, we just read the first pasuk earlier. You didn't see that. You saw, if anything, you saw the word geneva, as the Gemara says here, geneva v'shor hu dichtiv. The Pasuk doesn't have the Prat followed by the Klal, which would have enabled me to include more by stating the rule that the Klal, the general that follows a particular, includes more than the particular. But in the actual structure of things, the word Geneva precedes Shor, and Geneva is the Klal, is the general. When a general is followed by a detail, by an example, we have a rule that says that there isn't contained in the pasuk any more than the actual example that was stated. So that, as far as the Pusik is concerned, Ganav would be Chayev Kefel only for stealing a Shor, where you have the general statement of Geneva before the detail, before Shor. So only for a Shor would there be Kefel, or possibly the other specific examples in the Pusik, but not by far to include all portables that have inherent value. So what is the intent of the Tana de Bechizkiya to begin with? In other words, the suggestion doesn't even get off the ground, because you're suggesting a scriptural structure that simply doesn't exist. Now, we have a volcano or trapezoid shape. As you go down the page, you see a few of these, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, that's a structural note, we indicate that this mark, this trapezoid here, is represents shlavim, stages. Lavin al pieza mida dorash hatana bechizkiya. Which element or aspect of scriptural drusha, scriptural expansion, does the Tana de Bechizkiya operate? Tana Bechizkiya is the source that we alluded to, starting at the bottom of Samach Gimel Omid Beis. Where is he coming from? So now let's go on in the Gemara. Vichi tema, and if you want to say, or if you suggest, ilu ne'emar komar. In other words, the Tana Bechizkiya was speaking in theoretical terms, namely, had the Pasuk said, ilu ne'emar shor ugineva, had the Pasuk said the prat, the detail, followed by the klal, then I would have been able to include more things. Rashi explains a little more in the narrow lines, the upper part of the narrow lines. V'chi tema ilu ne'emar komar, ilu ne'emar shor b'resha, had the pasuk stated first the detail, the example of ox, the hodar geneva, and then the general term geneva, lo hayatzorich lichtoiv yoiser, the pasuk wouldn't have to have written any more. I would have included everything by virtue of the structure. Detail followed by general enables me to include everything. V'loma lo nichtav kein, and why? Then the issue is, why did the Torah not write it like that? So maybe that's what is. Maybe that's what's troubling or governing the thinking of the Tana de Bechizkiya. The Gemara responds, no, that could not be, because Umi Motzis Amris, would the source have been able to say Ma Haprat Mefurash? In the source itself, you can see we have a little arrow pointing to the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, where this expression appeared in the source. And that point, or that phrase, suggests that we would include things that are like the prat, things that are like the example. Have a shor prat ugneva klal. The posuk, if you say it's written in the ilu ne'emar fashion, in other words, the Tana Bechizkiya is speaking about theoretically, had the posuk said shor and then geneva, the source wouldn't have reacted with maha prat mefurash, to include simply things that are like the example, because in a case like that, shor is the prat, geneva is the klal, and the rule says as follows: prat u klal nase klal moisif al haprat visrabu luhu kol mili. You would have a structure like that, namely detail followed by general. And in such a case, you wouldn't be focusing on the nature of the prat, the characteristics of the example. And yet, when you look at the Tana de Bechizkiya, that's exactly what he said. He said there at the bottom of Samach Gimel Omid Beis, Maha Prat Mefurish Korev Legabi Mizbeach. So I will include anything else that's like that. But if the Pusik was in the the Prat Uklal structure, I wouldn't be limited to including more than I wouldn't be limited to including things that are like the Prat, and yet that's what Tana Vichskia said. So apparently, Ela Kinichtiv Koamri. Maybe then the Tana de Bechizkia is working with the Pasuk as it appears. Gineva Vishor. Gineva is stated first, followed by, that's a klal, followed by the prat, the shor, the ox. Then mi motzit samers hakol bichlal. Would you be able to say then that, well, we'll include everything, that a ganav is chayav kefil on everything from that scriptural structure? Namely, klal followed by prat, or ma haprat mefurash, another term that you find along the way, that you saw in the Tana Bechizkia. The Tana Bechizkia suggested that I'll include things that are like the prat. That wouldn't be the case, though. If you're going with the pasuk as it appears, have a shor prat ugneva klal. And when you have, we just made a little mistake there. Let's reread that. Have a lay gineva klal v'shor prat. If you're going to go kidichtiv, then the word gineva is the general. It's followed by shor, a detail, an example. Prat, and then you have klal uprat, ein bichlal olamashe beprat. Shor in midi achrin alo. When the pasuk is structured like that, with a general followed by a detail, you don't include anything except for that which is stated. The shor, yes, ox, yes, and nothing else. So that if you are looking at the pasuk as it appears, namely, you're darshaning gineva followed by shor, you wouldn't be in the including business, and yet the Tana Bechizkia is quite intent on including more things. Omar Rava. Rava reveals Tana Bechizkia a chayim ka somich lei. By all means, look back into the pasuk, in pasuk Gimel. And it said there, im himotse timotse biodo hagineva. There's your general. Mishor al chamorat se. Those are your details. Those are your examples. And then, chayim. Chayim means living animals. That's a general state. That's a general phrase. So then, with that in mind, what is the pasuk structure? You didn't see this in the Tanaic source, the Tana Bechizkia itself. You didn't see it spelled out. But that's what is really happening. The Tana is relying on the presence of the word Chayim at the end. And then, what do you have? Uklal, uprat, uklal, ka'omar le. So that the pasuk structure is really in that fashion. General, with the detail in the middle, followed by another general statement. And with a pasuk like that, we can then understand the ideas mentioned of hakol b'chlal, well, everything's included, or maha prat mefurash af kol, just like the prat has this and this kind of element to it, so we'll include more things. Because a structure like that, general, followed by detail, then followed by, again, a general, allows you to include more things. The brackets that you see are designed for an initial skipping. Rava had spoken, and he continues after the brackets. V'hochi kokashyole. The Tana de Bechizkia that we had seen, starting at the bottom of Samach Gimel Mibbeis, concluding right before today's shir began, that source had in it a question, but you didn't see it yet. The question is, im himotsei timotsei loma li. Once we've presented the drosha as a klal prat uklal, and with that it seemed that we were able to include, as far as the penalty of a ganav, and the requirement to pay kefo as applying to anything that he happened to steal, anything that was portable and had inherent value, what does the phrase im himotsei timotsei that you find in the beginning of Pasuk Gimel, what role does that phrase have? Let's go over now the brackets that we skipped. The Gemara suggested that the Tana de Beis Chizkiya, in its effort to include more items over which to obligate the thief, was relying on a klal prat uklal, general, specific, and then general structure verse. The Gemara asks, the holo domi klolo vasro leklolo kamo. The generals are not balanced. They're not the same. The klolo basra, what was the basra means end, the final general statement. What was it? It was the word chayim. Well, that would enable me to include only animals. The word chayim means life, animals that are stolen. The klolo kama, the first klal, used the word geneva. Geneva, anything that's stolen. So how can we rely on such a verse where the klola basra, which is chayim, is going to include more than just living animals? The Gemara answers, ha tana de bei Rabbi Shmuel hu. The tana de bei Chizkiya is based on the approach taken by the school of Rabbi Shmuel. The chi haigav no dorish kloli uprati. In scriptural structures like that, they nevertheless do not hesitate to darshan it as a klal uprat uklal drosha. These are, I would say, highly detailed ideas if you're a first-time student of these principles. So bear in mind that as you see more and more of them, they become more familiar to you. Rava now continues. The Hachi Kokashile and the Tana de Bechiskia raised the following difficulty at the end of his Tanaic source, which we did not see yet. What is the real end of his Tanaic source? Im himotsei timotsei lomali. Once we've established that you have a klal prat uklal posuk, you've got your geneva, then the details, the shor, the chamor, and then eventually you have the word chayim. And with that, I'm supposedly going to include everything to obligate a thief into paying kefel. What do I learn from the opening phrase of Pasuk Gimel where the words im himotsei timotsei appeared? At this point in the Gemara, you see a framed section. This framed section parallels the framed section that we had at the end of our previous year. What he does is he starts from the beginning. He starts all over again. However, by the time you get to the bottom line, you can see at the end of this, it says, im himotsei timotsei lomali. So what Rav is doing is what the Gemara is doing is presenting again the Tana de Beis Chizkiya with the final question in it. The Gemara at the top of Omid Beis will say, if that's what the conclusion of the Tana de Beis Chizkiya in fact is, that's a good question. And what's the answer? How do we account for the himotsei timotsei? So here we go, and as I say, we're starting all over again with the Tana de Beis Chizkiya as we saw it yesterday. The Gemara. And we're using the same markings that we had used yesterday, so refer to the Mivneh structure that we discussed in our previous year. So now it says as follows. Yomar Shor Ugenevo V'chaim. This, I would suggest that maybe the real intent is, after we had the previous discussion, we emphasized that Geneva really appears before Shor, And here, suggested reading is Shor Gneva V'Chaim, when that's not what it says. So we have a little note that we wrote in between the lines to look into the Girsa that you find at the beginning of the Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page. Up at the top, you can see the third line, Yomar Gneva V'Shor V'Chaim V'Kol B'Chlal. And that is a more comfortable reading than what's printed in our Gemara. So, whichever way, just recognize that in reality, Geneva appears first, followed by Shor, and eventually at the end you have Chaim. You have general Geneva, Shor, detail, Chaim again general. So let the Pasuk have written that, V'hakol b'chlal. We continue and say, well then, you know, let the Pasuk have written just that. Yet we know that the Pasuk wrote more. Why is that? So, Elu Cain, had the Pasuk written just Geneva, Shor, and Chaim, HaYisi, Omer, I would have thought, Ma Prat Mefurosh, Dover HaKorv Legabi Mizbeach, a Shor is an ox, it's a type of animal that is eligible or is suitable as offering in potential. If you should sanctify it, it's all suitable as a sacrifice on the altar. Of kol, so to anything else that I will include by virtue of the klal, prat, uklal, posuk, I will include hakorev legabi mezbeach. Ma yesh lechol ahavi, what would you have included then on your own? Se, the realm of sheep and goats. That's what I would have included if only shor was stated. Well, kishu omer se hare se omor. So I'm not including se by virtue of the presence of Shor. The word se is stated explicitly. Ha ma ani mekayim geneva. So then what do I do with the pasuk where geneva is stated, which enables me to include more than that which is stated explicitly? The rabbah is called over, so I'll come to include everything that a thief might steal. Well then, yomar geneva v'shor v'se v'chayim v'akol b'chlal. Then let the Pasuk have written just that. And I would have said, everything's included. But that's not what the Pasuk wrote. The Pasuk added more. Elu, Cain, Hoisi, Omer. Had the Pasuk simply left me with Shor and Seh as my details, I would have said, Ma haprat mefurosh dover hakadosh b'lechoyro. Something that has the sanctity, that if it is a firstborn, it would be sanctified. Af kol dover hakadosh b'v'chor, so I would be entitled to include only things that are like the prat, things that have the sanctity of a firstborn, or when a firstborn would have sanctity. Ma yesh lechol ahavi, what else is like that? What else is like shor and se in that respect? Chamor, I would have included a donkey, which we know is an animal that if it is the firstborn of which has the sanctity of what we call Kedushas Bechor. Kishu Omer Chamor, well, but the Pasuk spells out Chamor. It's not something that I include by virtue of the inclusionary power of the Pasuk. It's explicitly stated. Hare Chamor Amur, so behold, Chamor is stated. Ha Amor Ani Mekayem Geneva, so then what is the role of Geneva? What am I then going to include? The rabbi is called over, then I would be able to include beyond that, include everything. All right, well, if that's the case, Yomar Gineva, Vishor, Visev, Hamor, Vichayim, Vakol, Bichlal. Here, by the way, you can see how the Tana de Bechiskia is relying on the word Chayim. Here it finally appears. So let the Torah write just that. Elu, Cain. Had the Torah written just that, Hoyisi Omer Ma Prat Mefurosh Balei Chayim. Just like the examples are animals. You have a shor, an ox, a sheep, a donkey. So just like the Prat is Mefurosh Balei Chayim, I've called Balei Chayim. So I would have said that I'll include all animals. So Ma Yesh Lecha Lahavi, what am I thereby going to include in practical terms? Shar Balei Chayim. Other animals. Shomer Chaim, when the Pasuk spells out Chaim, Hare Baale Chaim Amur. It's already there. It's not something that I'm learning from the inclusionary powers of the Pasuk. So, ho mani mekayim geneva. So then, what am I going to derive from geneva? The klal of geneva. Larabo is called over to include all things, anything that's portable, even if it's not in a living creature and has inherent value. So the pasuk that we have, namely geneva, with the respective spelled out examples, followed by the klal chayim, I'm entitled to include kol davar. Oh, im hi motzei ti motzei lomali. What am I to derive from the expression im hi motzei ti motzei? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. E hachi shapir kashile. If that is the case, then that's a very good question. In other words, once we had our klal pratu klal, which seemingly entitled us to include everything, then what in fact am I going to do with im himotse timotse? The Gemara answers, and you'll note we have a long answer. Mishum ti'is le pircha. The klal prat uklal that we presented, through which we suggested, let's include everything, it has a pircha, it has a weakness to it, it has there is a question that we can raise to challenge the accuracy of that limud, of that derivation. What's the weakness? The rabbis called over the suggestion in the source to include everything, may we said to include everything beyond animals, may hecha komaisi le. Where does that come from? Where is the inclusionary power of a klal prat uklal found? Miklal basra. Rashi explains in detail what's behind the reasoning over here, but for our purposes, we simply say that the after the first klal was stated, it was then modified by details. And at that point, you would have a klal uprat. And we've mentioned earlier that something like that has no inclusionary power. It's actually quite the opposite, very limited. What enables us to achieve inclusionary power? It's the appearance of the second klal, the second general statement. Well, klal gufe chayim ksiv be. The second klal is the word chayim, which means the living animals. Klal uprat uklal mai kol mahanile. What are we saying that the klal, this particular klal prat and klal is coming to include? E l'siyei kol davar. If you are to think that it's to include everything, but ha chayim ksiv bali chayim in midi achrin alo. The posuk, the second klal, has the word chayim as its klal basra. That means living things. And the suggestion here is living things, yes, but other things not. The underlying problem is that how can you say that the second general statement would enable you to include things beyond that which is stated in the general statement? Mishom hachi, there we in our Gemara, you might see an aleph printed. There's an alternative girsa with a yud at the end of the word hacha. Instead, we read hachi. Mishom hachi, itzrich. Therefore, it's necessary to have im hi motzei, so that through darshaning the im hi motzei ti motzei, which you'll see shortly how we actually use those phrases as a klal, pratu klal, then we'll be able to include more and not be restricted to living animals. There's a little note that you see in the Tosis at the top, Ihochi Shapir Kashile. The Tana Bechizkiya had left off with a question, then, well, what am I going to do with the im hi motzei ti motzei? Umeshani, and the answer is, mishum di isle pircha, as we just demonstrated, that the klal, pratu klal, where the second klal was chayim, has that weakness to it, that I can't expand beyond animals. So even though this particular challenge was not stated in the Tanaic source, Hainu Mishum Delo Chosh Lefarsha, he simply didn't bother spelling it out. But from Tosfos you get the impression then that this point was understood already by the Tana de Bechizkiya. Now, we continue in the Gemara after having said that through Im Himotzei Timotzei, I will be able to darshan a klal prat uklal. Amri v'hoshnei klolus tusmichi adodi ninu. The words Himotzei Timotzei are written in the Torah next to one another. Of course, use the reference we made earlier to the pasuk that we wrote on the margin of Daf Samach Gimel Omid Beis. The pasuk opened with the words Im Himotzei Timotzei Biyado Haganeva. Where do you come off saying that the structure of the pasuk with Imotzei Timotzei is a klal pratu klal? The Gemara answers. Notice we have a long answer marking. But this long answer is going to show the entire picture, how Himotzei Timotzei is developed into a klal prat uklal. Omar Ravina, so Ravina answers, Kide Amri b'Marova, in accordance with the teaching of Marova of Eretz Yisrael, Kol Mokum Shata Moitzei Shnei Klolos Asmuchim Zeh Bozeh, whenever you find two generals that are stated one next to the other, Hatel Prat Beneim V'Dunam B'Chlalu Prat, take the details that are in the pasuk and stick them, place them between the two klolos, the two general expressions, and proceed to explain in a klal prat uklal fashion. And as you see, we have some numbering here, and here the Gemara spells it out. Shadi, place, shore, which is one of the examples in the pasuk. Bain, Himotzei L'Timotzei. We mentioned earlier, let's mention again, that Himotzei, Timotzei are general expressions. Literally, if there is found in his possession, the Geneva. So what's found? Well, anything. They're general expressions. So you take the word Shor and place it between the words Himotzei, Timotzei. Shodi Shor Bein Himotzei L'Timotzei La'asuye Mai. What would you include through the klal uprat uklal inclusionary power, I lasuye balei chayim, if you think to include living animals, may chayim nafka. Well, chayim is already stated explicitly, so I'm not using the inclusionary power of the pasuk for that which is already stated. Elo lasuye davar she'ein balei chayim. So rather, I have the right to include things that are not living. Udrosh hochi, and then explain as follows: Ma prat mefurosh dovar metata v'gufo mamon. I've called dovar metata v'gufo mamon. Just like the prat, shor, is something that's portable. It has inherent value. That's gufo mamon. So to anything that is portable, that has inherent value. V'su, and then further: Shodi chamor bein imotzei litomotim timotzei. Take the word chamor and place it between the two general expressions. Lasuye mai, what would you be coming to include? I lasuye dover shein balei chayim. If chamor's purpose is to include things that are not living, mishor nafka, that was already derived from shor. Elo lasuye dover mesuyim. Rather, it's coming to include a dover mesuyim. Dover mesuyim is explained as something that has a sign on it, something that's identifiable. Ella, so we ihachi, if that's what the role of chamor is, se lomali, then what role does se play in the pasuk? I've essentially included identifiable items that are portable and have inherent value. What is there left to learn from the word se. With that question raised, there's now a major turnaround in terms of method of pasuk drasha, method of pasuk expansion. Ela riba umiyet v'riba hu. Rather, and as I said, this is a dramatic turnaround. The structure of the pasuk is rather to be taken as this. It's another form of pasuk expansion. And instead of speaking in terms of klal, pratu klal, general, specific, and general, this method is called ribas, inclusion, mie, exclusion, followed by something inclusionary. Kidetono debay Rabbi Shmuel. In accordance with the teaching of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana Shmuel, here there's a citation from a totally different realm, but it's a posuk in Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph Posuk Tes, is being referred to. We've included this posuk in the margin. So if you see in our margin, the posuk Vayikra Yud Aleph Posuk Tes, et ze tochelu, mikol asher bamayim, kol asher lo snapir vekaskeses bamayim, bayomim, banecholim, oisom tochelu. Structurally, the pasuk has two general statements. The word b'mayim, the pasuk is talking about the water creatures that one, as a Jew, who is obligated to the laws of kashrus, is entitled to eat. So the pasuk speaks about those things that are in the water, that have snapir, fins, kaskesis, and scales. And it repeats again, b'mayim. What is mayim? Mayim, as we said, any body of water. Then the pasuk goes on to details. Yamim, necholim, oisom techelu. Yamim, and necholim, seas and rivers. So you have in the pasuk two general statements followed by the details. In that sense, it's similar to our pasuk in Shmos Perchot Beis pasuk Gimel. So you have then what Tana Rebbe Shmuel says. Let's now read the Gemara. B'mayim b'mayim shnei pa'omim. You have two generals. Ein ze klal uprat. In fact, he says that's not to be darshan as klal uprat. Ela riba umie v'riba. And when you have something structured like that, or described thusly, you should understand riba hakol will include everything. And we're not going to develop the issue concerning the kashrus of water creatures. Let's go back to our topic. My Ravi. So what's included with regard to theft, where the thief will have to pay kefel? We said we have our posuk im himotzei timotzei biyodo hageneva, etc. What are we including then? Ravi komili, anything. We'll include everything. Anything that a thief steals and is caught pays kefel. Pays double. Ihachi, if that's the case, kolhani proti lomali. If I'm including everything, then what do I gain by having these specific details? The shor, the chamor, the seh. So we answer chad limute karka. One will exclude land. A thief takes possession of land, claiming it as his own, and then he's caught. He doesn't pay kefel for that. Chad limute avodim. Another prat will serve to exclude slaves. And even though slaves are portable on gufo mamon, they're excluded. They're compared to karkois. And v'chad limute shtoros. And a third prat will exclude the theft of documents, bills of collection, where a person had extended a loan entitling the possessor of the shtar, of the document, to collect money. So if that's stolen, then the thief will not pay kefel. So far, we've accounted for the three prats, shor, chamor, and seh. There are other words that we need to account for in that pasuk. Remember, we're darshaning now the himotzei timotzei as being the ribui inclusionary expressions. Geneva v'chayim, what about those words geneva and chayim that were in our pasuk gimel? So what do? L'chide rav. They have a purpose for rav's teaching. The omar, rav's teaching, which will be developed further on daf samach hey omet aleph, rav's teaching says that when a thief steals something and there's a fluctuation in the price between the time that he stole it and the time he is brought to court, rav says, achye lekeren ke'en shegonav. You see the word chayim, achye, literally is to resuscitate the keren, the principal, in other words, determine how much is to be paid as the principal. We have in a thief pays kefel, he pays principal plus one additional time the value of the item. So how do you calculate the principal? So Rav says ke'en shegonav, in accordance with what the item was worth at the time of the theft. So, with that, we have discovered a source for ganav paying kefel for all items that are portable and have inherent value. If he steals those and is caught, he'll pay kefel. What would he not pay kefel for? So we just saw a list of things that are excluded. I think we should point out that all of this was necessary according to, we had two brises back on daf Samach Gimel. We had labeled them Roman numerals 1 and 2. We needed all of this to answer the question, how does source number 1 that said that the two psukim, Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin, that we featured in our previous year, were both dealing with a shomer that's Toei Tainas Ganav. So if the two psukim Vav and Zayin, which seemed to be talking about a thief, but in reality were not, were rather talking about a shomer that claimed the item was stolen, where does that Tanaic source, namely source number 1 that we had in Daf Samach Gimel, where does he learn the laws concerning an actual thief? So we've answered that. That was the whole, all of today's discussion till now was to answer. He learns it from the method of Tana de Beit Chizkiya and all of the, we'll say, the upgrading that we did along the way, using Himotzei Timotzei as a riboy miut uribo to include anything that a thief might steal. As was featured in verse Gimel, Shmos Perchobes Posuk Gimel. With that in mind, we continue with a type of back and forth discussion regarding those two sources from Daf Samach Gimel Omid Beis. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading / mivneh, with a structural note. The diamonds that you see running down the page are references to the shnei brises shehuva'u li'el Samach Gimel Omid Beis. They're references to those two brises I mentioned before, and I hope everyone that's listening to our shiur is familiar with our Gemara from Samach Gimel. I mentioned that earlier, that today's shiur was a continuation of Daf Samach Gimel. So our note continues and says that the diamonds highlight those two brises. Tana de Beit Chizkiya Shuva Litzorach Mandomar, Roman numeral number 1, Laganav Atzmo. The Tana de Beit Chizkiya was brought in for the first of those two brises on Samach Gimel regarding the thief himself. Minai, where do we know the kefel that a thief would have to pay for anything that he steals? The Dorash im himotzei timotzei l'lame deganav atzmo chayev kefel al kol mili. So ma doresh ma domar number 2 me'im himotzei timotzei. What does the second brisa on daf Samach Gimel Omid Beis do with im himotzei timotzei? After all, let's go back into the Gemara now at the diamond. Ulamad omar chad beganav v'chad betoitain ganav. according to Brisa number 2, that said one verse was talking about an actual thief paying kefel, and the other verse spoke about the shomer that made the claim of theft. The ganav atzmo nafkale me'im yimotze haganov, the ganav himself as being obligated to pay kefel was learned from posuk vov. Hi, im himotzei timotzei my dorish bay. What will that brisa do with posuk gimel? He doesn't need im himotzei timotzei to include the ganav himself. He did that through posuk vav. Answer: we have a long answer. Mi boy alei lichadarava bar iloi. He needs it for Rava Bar Eloi's teaching. The Omar Rava Bar Eloi, my time of the Rav, the Omar Moide Beknas V'Achar Kach Bo Eidim Potter. Rav has a principle, and a person who confesses owing a type of payment that we call knas. Knas are payments that are imposed by the Torah that don't reflect the actual value of whatever compensation needs to be made. There are many examples of knas in the Torah. Immediately, the kefel payment is a form of knas. The extra payment, you have the principal plus one. So that extra, that second payment, the double payment, the second part that you're paying beyond the principal, that's in the realm of knas. Imagine then a thief comes on his own to the court and says, I want to confess that I stole something stealthily. So he's moide b'knas. He's confessing the knas that he otherwise would have had to pay. And then after he confesses, witnesses come to testify about the theft. So Rav Bar Eloi says, explains Rav, who said such an individual would be exempt, potter. The thief, what's the basis of that exemption? That since he confessed, even though witnesses appear subsequently, the offender nevertheless is exempt. Where do we know it from? It says, im himotzei timotzei. This is again posuk gimel. And in posuk gimel, reference was made to the need for paying double, the kefel. So it says, im himotzei timotzei. What do we darshan from that? Im himotzei ba'idim timotzei b'dayonim. Meaning if witnesses are responsible for the revelation, the initial revelation of the theft, then you will find payment amongst the judges. The judges will order you to pay the kefel. Prat, to the exclusion of l'marshias atzmo, to the exclusion of one who confessed on his own. So, if the question had been, what does Brisa number 2 do with im himotzei timotzei? Answer, he uses it for Rava Bar Eloi's point. Ulamad yomar travayu b'toyin tainez ganov. According to Brisa number 1, that said both Psukim Vov and Zion in Shmos Chof Beis, we're talking about the shomer that lays the false claim of theft. Dahai im himotzei timotzei mapik lei leganav atzmo. He used posuk gimel, like we saw before in the Tana de Beis Hiskia, for the thief himself. What, over what does he pay kefel? Marshia atzmo menolon. Where will source number 1, Brisa number 1 of Daf Samach Gimel, learn the concept of Marshia Atzmo? Now, there's a detail that I want to spell out now so that it shouldn't be a source of confusion for anyone later on. Marshia Atzmo, it means, if you on a literal translation, is self-implication, where a person confesses. Where a person confesses his offense in the realm of knas, so he is thereby exempt. He's exempt from paying the knas. We added something a moment before. Not only is he exempt from paying knas, but even if witnesses show up later, he'll be exempt. There are, in effect, we'll say, two stages, two levels of understanding. There is the case of a person who confesses. He's innocent. What happens if witnesses show up later on to testify about that event? So there is a school of thought, and we just saw it. Rava Bar Eloi quoted Rav, and we mentioned that even if witnesses come later, you'd be exempt. But in order to reach that conclusion, you'd have to have, in effect, two psukim telling us about Marshiat Es Atzmo. This approach that we're reading right now, the Brisa number one, who used Im Himotzei Timotzei for Ganav Atzmo, and now we're asking Marshiat Atzmo Menolon, we say from another pasuk, Me'asher Yarshiun Elohim, where the Elohim is the judge, where the judge finds you guilty. V'lo HaMarshias Atzmo, but not one who implicates himself, who confesses. That, in and of itself, tells me simply that one who admits on his own to having committed a, say, knas-related offense, he will be exempt. But we're not saying anything about witnesses that show up later on. I know we mentioned that before, but that was in the context of Brisa number 2. This discussion, the last four lines, we're focusing on Brisa number 1. The idea of Marshias Es Atzmo, he learns from Asher Yarshiun Elohim. Himi Motzei Timotzei wasn't available for that issue whatsoever. That was used up for Ganav Atzmo. Let's continue. Ulamanda Omar, according to Brisa number 2, Chad beganav v'chad betointan as ganav. The icy lay me'im himotzei timotzei l'marshias as atzmo. According to Brisa number 2, that derived the law of marshias as atzmo from im himotzei timotzei, that we saw earlier. Hay asher yarshiun mai darshi bay. What is Brisa number 2 going to do with that posuk of asher yarshiun? Omar Loch, he will answer, Ahumi Boyale, Le Moide Beknas de Potter. Moide Beknas is essentially the same thing as Marshias Atzmo. Someone who confesses that he committed a Knas type offense. So now let's go over this. Brisa number 2, we already mentioned that he learned from him Motzei Timotzei the concept of Marshias Atzmo. But now, again, he's saying, Arshir Yashin tells me that. So, what's the real understanding of things? Arshir Yashin tells me that Moide Beknas is exempt. One who confesses having committed an offense like theft would be exempt. He doesn't have to pay the kefel. But that's assuming that no witnesses came later on. What about a case where witnesses come later on to testify about what he already confessed? Would he still be innocent? So according to Brisa number 2, yes. Why? Because I have an extra verse, Im Himotzei Timotzei, which also spoke about Marshias Atzmo. What chiddush is there in saying the same thing twice? The answer is that he's exempt from paying us not only on his own confession, but even in the event that after he confessed on his own, witnesses came to testify about the offense. So according to source number 2, since I have two psukim dealing with this topic of moide beknas, self-implication or confession, since I have two verses, I can extend the exemption even to a case where witnesses show up later testifying about the offense. Uman di Omar, Brisa number 1, that used Himotzei Timotzei already. He used it up to tell me about a thief himself as Chayav Kefil for all types of theft. Travayu betoyentain is ganov. That, let me read that again. Umad Omar Travayo Betoyentain is Ganav. The source number 1 from Daf Samach Gimel that said that Psukim Vov and Zayin were for Toyentain is Ganav. And as we said, Im Himotzei Timotzei was for the Ganav himself. So he doesn't have two Psukim concerning self-implication. Chosovar, he is of the opinion that Moide Beknas, the Achar Kach Bo Edim Chayev, that in fact, if someone confesses on his own the knas type offense, and witnesses do show up later on, he will have to pay. Ulamand yomar brisa number two, that chad beganav v'chad betoyintayn is ganav. Denafkele ganav mehosam, he, brisa number two, learned the ganav himself from there. Bishlamo im hi motzei ti motzei, I understand the phrase of Pasuk Gimel, imi motzei, was the for Rava Bar Eloi's teaching, namely that Moide Beknas and Achakach Boedim is Potter. Rava Bar Eloi, we had underlined his name a few number of lines up, and we explained the words imi motzei be'edim, ti motzei be'dayonim. That was all understood. Avol kol hani proti lomali, what will that Brisa, which we call him Brisa number two, what does he do with all of the details that were found in Pasuk Gimel? Answer? The answer, basically, he's going to say nothing. Does that raise eyebrows? Well, wait 1 minute. Kidetana debe Rabbi Shmuel. Brisa number two will relate to all of those details in Pasuk Gimel with the attitude or the approach of Tana Beis Shmuel, the Tana Beis Shmuel, in the teaching within the Yeshiva of Shmuel states, Kol Parsha Shenamra V'Nishnes, sections of the Torah that are stated and repeated, Lo Nishnes Elo L'Dovar Shenishadesh Ba. Before we apply this principle, let's go over the issue that's bothering the Gemara. We asked, according to source number two from Daf Samach Gimel, that learned Ganav from the Psukim stated already in Vav and Zion, one was talking about Ganav, the other was talking about Toin Tanas Ganav. Pasuk Gimel, which source number one said referred to the Ganav himself, source number two will explain imi motzei ti motzei like Rava Bar Eloi did before. What do I need all the details for? And now Rashi adds what I think is critical, and that is, if the details in Pasuk Gimel are there to exclude karka, avodim, and shtoros, like we saw that before. We saw that was the approach that Brisa number one would have taken. But Brisa number two doesn't need Pasuk Gimel and its details to exclude land, slaves, and shtoros from Kefel. So what do I need those details for? The Gemara answers, as we said before, they don't really serve to teach me anything new. And how can you say that? Kidetana Rabbi Yishmael, in accordance with the teaching of Rabbi Yishmael, the Tana Rabbi Yishmael, of course, we're reading this again, Kol Parsha Shenamra V'Nishnes, a section of the Torah that's stated and repeated, Lo Nishnes Elo L'Dover Shenis Chadesh Bo. So that when you're looking at these Psukim, Pasuk Gimel, and then Pasuk Ches, you see we see the details repeated. Repetition can take place as long as some aspect of the verse is revealing something new. So that when you look at Pasuk Gimel with the backdrop of Pasuk Ches, and Pasuk Ches already serves as the source for excluding Karka, Shtoros, and Avodim, What is the role? What do I derive from the details in Pasuk Gimel? So we answer, according to Tanya Rishmael, Pasuk Gimel reveals the teaching of Rava Bar Ahiloi, the issue of Moideh Beknas V'Acharkach Bo Edim, that he's Potter. So Pasuk Gimel has a Chidush Dover Shinis Chadesh Bo function. Ah, there's some repeat element in there, namely information that I would derive from Pasuk Ches through the details namely excluding karka, vodim, and shtoros, so that the presence of details of a similar nature in Pasuk Gimel is stated anyway. Because, just to repeat, because Pasuk Gimel has a dovar shenis chadish, namely the drosha of imi motzei ti motzei of rova bar ahiloi. At this point, the Gemara touches on something that was mentioned back on Daf Samach Gimel Omid Beis. Back on Daf Samach Gimel Omid Beis, three, 4 lines from the bottom, in addition to raising the question, how does Brisa number 1 know that a thief himself is Chayav Kefel for all items? How do we know that the thief is Chayav Kefel without the involvement of a false oath? The concept of a false oath, that plays a critical role in the case of the shomer, the guard that made the false claim of theft. What about a thief himself? The assumption, but when looking for a source, the assumption has been that a thief will pay kefil simply for having committed the act of stealthful theft, regardless of swearing falsely or not. That plays no role. The Gemara there on Samach Gimel Omid Beis, as we just mentioned, after raising the issue of how does source number 1, who said both Psukim Vov and Zion were referring to Tayin Tainis Ganav, how does he know Ganav himself? That, I believe, we've answered in today's shiur, namely the whole discussion surrounding the Tana de Bechizkia, and eventually the Ribui Miut, the Ribui of Imi Motzei Ti Motzei Biyodo Hagneva, Pasuk Gimel, that was source number 1's basis for Ganav Atzmo paying Kefel. What about that other question from Samach Gimel Amud Beis that we saw there, 3 lines from the bottom? How do we know that the Ganav will pay even without having to have sworn falsely? So now we pick up that point right now. You might notice that in our Mark Gemaras, we have a double star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with an indicator to go back to Samach Gimel Amud Beis. And if you do that, you'll see there the Gemara I was just referring to, where we placed our double star 3 lines from the bottom on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. So it all ties together. So the Gemara asks over here, V'yemo ganav atzmo b'shvua, maybe the ganav, we've already established, pays kefel, but pays so only after having sworn falsely. Lo salka daitoch, no, do not think thusly. Desanya, Rabbi Yankev Oimer, Posuk says in Shmos, Perek Chavbeis Posuk Gimel, the Posuk we've been working through throughout this particular shir, it says there, Shnayim Yishalem. And what do we say about that? Shaloi b'shvua. He pays double without having sworn. Atomer shaloi b'shvua o'eno elo b'shvua. You're saying without a shvua, maybe it's only if he had sworn falsely as well? Amres lo kachoya. No, can't be like that. My lo kachoya. What do you mean by that? What do you mean it couldn't be like that? Or it wasn't like that? Omar Abaye. So Abaye explains. Lo lichtoiv rachmona shnayim yishalem beganov. The Torah had the option of not writing double payment in Pasuk Gimel for Lacey, and let it be derived bekal v'chomer mitoyen tainas ganov, through kal v'chomer logic, from the topic of the shomer, the watchman who claimed falsely that it was stolen. And we know in the case of the shomer, when he is exposed as having lied, he pays double. And the kal v'chomer would have read thusly. Uma toyin tainas ganov de b'dehera, but de b'hetera osu liyodei. Mind you, the shomer that makes the false claim of theft, he is an individual that initially the item came to his possession, Be'etera means through heter, through allowed permissible means. In other words, the owner of an item entrusted the shomer, the guard, with the item. Please watch it for me. It came to his hands in a permissible fashion. Omar kro l'shalem trei, yet the Torah says, you've got to pay twice. In other words, if that shomer who got the item initially with under permissible circumstances, yet when he lies about the theft, he has to pay double. Ganav atzmo debisura asli yode lo kol shekein, a thief who got hold of the item through illegal means, through his theft, all the more so he should have to pay twice. Now, here the Gemara is a bit terse, but based on what we saw back on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, you would then say, all right, I'm going to derive Ganav from Toin Tainas Ganav, through Kal Vachomer. But there's another principle when you're learning Kal Vachomers. You have a principle that says, Dayo Labomin Adin Lius Kanidon. That which is derived cannot be any more extreme than the source. The case of Toin Tainas Ganav, the Shomer, which is the source in this Kal Vachomer for the Ganav himself, but the Shomer will pay double only if he swore falsely. The Ganav then would have to pay double only if he swore falsely. Elo. So if the source for Ganav himself was going to be from Toyin Tainas Ganav, why does the Torah write Shnayim Yishalem by the Ganav himself? Could I not have derived the Ganav himself through the Kal Vachomer? So we're saying, if I would have derived it from the Kal Vachomer, then the Ganav himself would have paid Kefa, but only after having sworn. Why does the Torah then write Shnayim Elo Shnayim Yishalem the Kosav Rachmona Beganav Atzmo Lomali? Why then does the Torah bother writing Shnayim Yishalem by the Ganav himself, if I had that Kal Vachomer? So the revelation of the Shnayim Yishalem in Pasuk Gimel is the Afilu Shelo B'Shvua. The Ganav will pay even without a Shvua. Just to repeat the last point, because had I been relying on the Kal Vachomer to get to the double payment of the Ganav, that would have been only if the Ganav would have sworn falsely, just like Toyin Tainas Ganav, through the we'll say the extra citation of the Torah in Pasuk Gimel of Shnayim Yishalem, I know to extend the culpability of the Ganav to circumstances even where there is no false swearing on his part. Now, the Gemara goes back to our whole discussion where we spoke so much about the drasha of Im Himotzei Timotzei. And questions, is everything that we've said till now really so? Does it really come for this? Now, what's the this? So we noted on the side, just to review, we noted that Im Himotzei Timotzei, according to Mandomar number 1, Brisa number, Roman numeral number 1 from Daf Samach Gimel, the Im Himotzei Timotzei was used Leganav Atzmo, that he pays kefel on everything. We said also that Im Himotzei Timotzei, according to Mandomar number 2, was needed for the din of Rav. Im Himotzei Timotzei was to the exclusion of Marshia Ses Atzmo, namely the case of Moide Beknas V'achakach Boedim. So we're asking, is Im Himotzei Timotzei really used for those things? But I need it for something else. And we have a Tanaic source where, again, we cite Shmos Perich of Beis, Posa Gimel, where it said, Im Himotzei Timotzei bi Yodo Hagenevav. So we say, Yodo, that's from the Posuk. Ein, we continue at the top of Daf Samach Hei, Ein Li Elo Yodo. I would know that there is a violation of theft only if he took it by hand. Gago chatsero v'karpifo minayin. How do you know that there's a violation of Geneva if, let us say, the Ganav, he didn't handle the item directly with his hands. Let's say he hit an animal with a stick, and the animal then ran into the Ganav's courtyard, or the Ganav's rooftop, or the Ganav's karpif. A karpif is an enclosed, fenced-in area, closed private area. And then the Ganav will say he locked the door on them. He didn't handle the stolen item at all by hand. How do you know to include that as also considered an act of theft? Talmud Lomar, im he motzei, ti motzei, mikomakom. The Pasuk describes the stolen item found in the possession of the Ganav any way, whether it be his actual manual hand stealing of the item, or all of these other examples as well. What do we see then? That im hi motzei ti motzei is used up already to teach me this point of law. So how can you suggest that it's used for the previously mentioned points of law? So the Gemara answers, im kain, if the pasuk was only for this, to include gago, roof, chatseru, courtyard, karpifo, enclosed area, lemo kro oi, he motsei. Grammatically, the word is not repeated in the exact same fashion when you look at Pasuk Gimel. If the purpose was simply, the doubling of the expression was simply to include other, we'll say, forms of theft, gago, chatser, v'karpifo, then let the Torah use the same verb form twice. He motzei, or ti motzei, mideshani kra, from the fact that the Pasuk made a change in the grammatical style, shma mino tarti, I'm entitled to derive 2 points from that. So I can include, I'll say that there is theft through gago, chatser, v'karpifo, that's 1 point. And the second point would be you have those two brises that we mentioned before, either to be the source for ganav atzmo, paying kefo for all things, or for the din of rav, of marshias, of moide b'kenas, v'achakach bo eden potter. So that there is room for everybody, so to speak. We can derive from im hi motzei ti motzei 2 points of law. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.